间6月10号星期四，北京时间6月11号星期五，欢迎收看美国观察，我是许湘云，我们从美国首都华盛顿为您现场直播。首先来关注今天的新闻头条。白宫星期四发表声明表示，拜登总统在英国参加工业化七国集团首脑会议前将发表讲话，宣布美国政府将采购5亿剂辉瑞新冠病毒疫苗，并通过联合国支持的全球新冠疫苗供应平台免费提供给92个低收入国家和非洲联盟。根据白宫的计划，今年美国将为全世界提供可让1亿人完全免疫所需要的2亿剂疫苗，剩下的3亿剂将在2022年上半年交付，所有的疫苗都将在美国生产。拜登还呼吁全球民主国家向全球提供安全和有效的疫苗。有报道说，白宫目前在同莫德纳公司谈判，希望获取更多的疫苗向全球提供。在另外一方面，美国国防部长奥斯汀星期三下达了一项内部的指令，要求国防部采取一系列的行动，以应对他所说的步步紧逼的中国挑战。五角大楼发言人科比表示，国防部今后的人员培训要聚焦中国。另一方面，奥斯汀部长将亲自督察国防部应对中国挑战的各项具体工作，以确保国防部的工作真正以应对中国挑战作为首要的任务。这项指令的大部分内容属于机密信息，国防部不会对外公开。科比强调，国防部没有人在寻求与中国冲突，下达最新的指令只是为了落实国防部中国事务工作组提出的各项建议，更好地聚焦于中国的挑战。在另外一方面，美国贸易代表戴琪星期四与台湾行政院政务委员兼经贸谈判办公室总谈判代表举行了视频对话，讨论双边的经贸关系。戴琪在对话时强调美台贸易与投资关系的重要性，并表示美国将继续在多边组织中就共同关心的问题与台湾合作。美国贸易代表办公室宣布，美台双方将在未来几个星期内通过视频方式举行美台贸易暨投资架构协定下的第11次会议。这次美台贸易主管的视频对话是在美国在台协会和台湾驻美国经济文化代表处的主持下举行的。这个星期在英国康沃尔参加 G7 峰会的领导人雕像公开展出，环保人士模仿美国拉什莫尔山的总统雕像风格，使用回收电子废料塑造了现实中的这7国领导人。这件大型雕塑的材料是废旧的手机、电脑、吸尘器等，旨在突出电子垃圾对环境的巨大威胁。
We have to deal with it as a human race. We have to deal with it, not as nations. Let's try and build things that we can repair. Let's build things that last longer. Let's, you know, not have to have the newest thing every time. But you know, let's find a way of dealing with this before we just get buried under it.
10 years, and.At the minute, the climate change is going badly, so countries need to sort it out.
Really, it's just to raise awareness of the global problem of e-waste. It's 53 million tons of e-waste that's created every year, of which the G7 contributes about 40% of that currently.
Well, I hope the G7 will be a turning point in our approach to environmental problems, to humanity, and that it's very clear that we've got this overwhelming crisis looming now.
美国国会周四召开听证会，聚焦新疆维吾尔少数民族穆斯林的人权侵犯问题。多位两党议员在会上呼吁国会尽快通过防止强迫维吾尔人劳动法。有关详情，下面我们连线美国之音记者李义华来为我们介绍。义华。
参议院外交关系委员会呢，星期四上午是这个针对中国新疆的人权问题召开了听证会。那么召开听证会的分别是来自这个人权小组委员会以及亚太小组委员会所共同召开的这场听证会。那么在参议院当中呢，很难得能够看到这个两个小组委员会同时召开的这种听证会，也看得出来在这个参议院外交关系委员会当中呢，目前是相当重视中国的人权问题。那么在今天的听证会上呢，来自两党的议员是多次的批评了中国政府在新疆地区这个侵害人权的这种情况，以及这个打压这个新疆维吾尔少数民族穆斯林等等的这种破坏的行为。那么在今天星期四的听证会上呢，来自佛罗里达州的共和党联邦参议员卢比奥呢，特别谈到了他认为这个中国政府呢，在过去和现在这种侵犯人权的行为最大的差别是出自于这个动机的不一样。那么卢比奥参议员是说呢，这个从前呢，中国政府迫害人权是出于对于权力的追求，不过他发现呢，现在中国政府的动机还多了一项，那么就是对于利益的追求。那么卢比奥参议员特别谈到的指的就是这个新疆维吾尔人所面临的强迫劳动的问题。因此呢，这个卢比奥参议员还有其他这个两党的参议员呢，在星期四的听证会上是多次的呼吁参议院方面能够尽快的审议并且通过这个由两党所推出来的防止强迫维吾尔劳动法这项法案。那么接下来我们就先来听听这个卢比奥参议员以及这个参议院外交关系委员会下属的亚太小组委员会的首席共和党成员罗姆尼参议员，他们稍早在听证会上怎么说。
That's why it is critical that the Senate quickly pass our Uyghur Forced Labor Prevention Act to ensure that goods made by forced labor, by Uyghur forced labor, do not enter our markets and make all Americans unwitting accomplices. The crimes against humanity and genocide that are taking place at the hands of the Chinese Communist Party demand an urgent international response. I urge the Biden administration to use all of its tools at its disposal to end these atrocities and ensure that the CCP does not benefit from these crimes. But it is incumbent upon us, those here in Congress, to act as well. And I'm hopeful that our legislation will be a major step in that direction.
Of course, many of the Chinese Communist Party's outrageous actions are well known by others. Its censorship, its incarceration of journalists, its repression of religion, its oppression of all minorities, its surveillance of its own citizens. But when it comes to its genocide of the Uyghur people, China has largely been able to hide what it's perpetrating from the world at large. From the concentration camps and forced labor, to families being torn apart, to Uyghur women being sexually abused by Han Chinese, what the Communist Chinese Party is perpetrating on the Uyghur people is atrocity not seen or imagined coming from a nation in the modern era.
是，我们也知道呢，包括罗姆尼参议员在内呢，还有多位的这个来自民主党的参议员啊，这个也之前呢联署了一项法案，那么是要这个目前他们也正在推动的，就是在针对这个2022年的北京冬奥会呢来进行外交抵制。那么我们也知道呢，在国会呢参议院方面最近刚刚通过的这个美国创新与竞争法案当中，也新增了这个修正案的内容，就是以希望能够以外交抵制的方式来应对中国在新疆方面的人权侵犯的问题。那么主持今天星期四听证会的民主党联邦参议员这个蒂姆凯恩参议员，在这个会后也接受了美国之音的采访。那么他是告诉美国之音，他目前并不清楚行政部门将会在这个采取什么样的做法了，或者是有什么样的政策来应对这个回应着2022年的北京冬奥会。不过他相信呢，这个拜登政府会在人权的问题上这个采取必要的行动。我们继续来听听这个凯恩参议员在稍早接受美国之音采访是怎么说。
We want a diplomatic boycott, and I think we're likely going to do some follow-up with American companies that are sponsors, and American media companies to see what their plans are to avoid human rights problems and highlight human rights abuses. So I think, but I don't know yet what the administration's plan is. I think the China with the Uyghurs and even American companies benefit if this issue does not get attention. But as soon as the issue gets attention, you know, many American companies, it's the last thing they want to be associated with. So I think I think the leverage we have with American companies is to, you know, bring significant public attention to the problem and to whether they're being responsible in, you know, actions in the Xinjiang region or with the Chinese government. And so I think American companies, if they feel like they'll be connected to the problem, they will be very wary. If they feel like they can do what they want and no one pays attention, then they'll just keep doing what they want.
除此之外呢，这个在星期四的听证会上呢，有议员谈到了刚刚我们所提到的这项法案呢，就是这个防止强迫维吾尔劳动法呢，有机会能够在这个月通过参议院这个外交关系委员会的这个讨论。那么这项法案呢，目前在众议院已经获得了通过，那么参议院的方面也必须要审议通过，同时呢，这个两院都通过之后，还要进行协调一致版本一致之后，才会送交白宫，由总统这个拜登来进签署生效。以上的记者在国会方面所掌握到的情况，时间交还给主持人湘云。
感谢怡华发来的连线报道。香港反送中运动满两周年，民调显示香港对中国人的身份认同创新低纪录。国安法的实施令许多人产生移民的念头，特别是年轻人希望保存香港人独特的文化和身份认同，拒绝被中国同化。发起在美国人口普查的种族一栏填上香港人，21岁的徐颖婷是当中的一人。而在距离香港3000公里以外的新疆，当地的维吾尔人面临文化清洗。美国国务院称，中国对维吾尔人犯下种族灭绝罪。世界维吾尔代表大会中国事务部主任伊丽夏提呼吁在海外保存维吾尔人的文化。我采访了徐颖婷和伊丽夏提两位人权组织负责人，来听听他们对自己族群的身份认同和文化保存的看法。今天很高兴邀请到我们是香港人总监徐颖婷，以及世界维吾尔代表大会中国事务部主任伊丽，身份认同以及文化保存的议题，好跟我们说说香港人这个对你这个名称对你的意义是什么？那它和中国人还有华人又有什么不同呢？
我觉得当你讲香港人的时候，你基本上是已经把中国人跟香港人跟华人已经分开了三个不同的个体来讲。对于我来说的话，香港人这个身份是大概在我完成小学的时候开始建立的。那有很大部分在我小学的时候，我们会学习到中国跟香港的分别在哪里。我们香港有什么在中国内地的人没有享受到的一些自由啊，或者权利，我们的法律有什么不同。所以大概在上小学的时候已经有一个概念，那到中学的时候就有一些就是社会的运动发生，当时就慢慢的把这个身份就建构在我身上。以前一直学什么中国历史的时候啊，我自己的这一代其实跟中国没有什么很大的联系。
接下来我想问伊丽莎提先生，您怎么看您的这个身份认同？您觉得是维吾尔人、美国人，还是说是亚裔，甚至是华人呢？
首先我是维吾尔人，其次我是美国的维吾尔人，然后再扩大一步呢，我是属于突厥文化这个文化圈里头的一个民族一个成员，然后再往这扩而大之呢，我是穆斯林群体当中的一个人，也是突厥伊斯兰文化的熏陶下成长的一个维吾尔人。对我来说，中华就是一种过敏的东西，因为自我成长开始，这个中华给我的民族给我个人带来的只有歧视，只有专制，只有剥削，只有掠夺，所以我不属于中华。我一旦说我是维吾尔人的时候，我非常自豪，因为我们有自己的文化、语言、信仰，我们曾经创造过文明，给世界的文明曾经起一个连接东西方文明的一个桥梁的作用。
那徐颖婷，我知道你的组织我们是香港人呢，此前有推出了请香港人在美国的人口普查当中呢选填自己是香港人的这样的一个选项。那可不可以跟我说说发起这个行动，你觉得这个背后的意义是什么？
美国官方在人口普查的数据里面是没有香港人的，你只会看到就是亚裔里面只有中国人还有台湾人的区别。那其实台湾人的那个分类其实还是在中国人里面包括的，是希望 可以透过这个运动可以让美国香港人可以重新再审视自己其实这个身份，这个香港人的身份，而且是透过参与美国的公共事务去申报自己这个身份，让其他人都可以看到我们的存在，还有也是对于我们未来做的一些民主运动啊，国际的倡议或者是游说的工作也是非常的有用。
在美国的这个人口普查的时候，我们也做了一些实际上在上一次的，就是说对维吾尔人的英语拼写有两种，一个是 UI， 一个是 UI。我们要求全体美国的维吾尔人填写 UI， 这样呢就使我们的英语拼写统一化。至于我们的文化在美国的保存，大家都知道美国是一个 melting pot， 也就是说它是一个融化炉，它对于外来文化的吸收以及同化，这是非常强势的一个社会。因为它的包容性，所以呢，很多人往往很快就会失去自己的身份带来的原始的身份。所以呢，我们开办了一些学校，我们保持和社团保持在一起，进行自己的传统文化的这种推进，以及呢向下一代的传承。我相信只要我们社区努力，每一个维吾尔人，每一个美国维吾尔人为自己的文化自豪，他就一定能为丰富美国的文化添加一份维吾尔的这个因素。
那我还想再问一下徐颖婷，就假如未来比如说你在海外有了你的下一代，那你会不会想要比如说教授他们广东话啦，或者说香港文化当中有没有哪些部分是你希望可以在海外也能够流传下去的？
绝对会。我觉得很多来美国或者是去海外的香港人其实有另外一个任务，就要把香港的文化在其他地方开花散地。那教授粤语是其中一个部分，然后还有就是宣传香港的文化、音乐的文化、饮食文化，还有很多很多的东西。我们也希望很多流散在海外的香港人可以在海外继续延续我们香港人的文化价值，还有我们的身份认同。
你们认为美国对于追求自由者来说有没有什么样的意义？那我想先请伊丽莎提来回答。
美国对追求自由者是一个灯塔，是一个基地。因为我成为一个光荣的自豪的美国公民，所以我毫无惧怕的可以继续我为民主自由、为每一个个人的尊严而进行我的奋斗。这就是美国给我的精神上的力量，它是每一个追求自由、追求宽容包容者每一个人的家园。我们每一个人都来自外面，但是我们可以在这块土地上继续繁衍，继续去保持我们的传统文化。这就是美国的意义，它的包容、它的宽容，以及它的这种保证每一个个人的自由和尊严。
我希望在未来可以继续在这里拥有这个自由，就继续推广我们给自己的一些价值，还有香港人在这里怎样可以继续延续我们的精神，让自己在这个比较自由的空间里面去为香港里面香港本土可能现在已经很多规范、很多保留的一个地方的人可以继续，我们在外面继续帮他们。我之前有遇过很多的威胁恐吓，对吧？然后当我受到这些威胁的时候，当然在美国他们就是中国人，他们会标榜着自由去讲我是可以做什么也可以啊。可是那个分别就是当我在美国国土上面遇到这些东西的时候，其实我是不会这么害怕的。相比如果我在香港的话，我会害怕下一秒我会不会被失踪。可是在美国的话，我自己是知道要找什么人去帮我，而且我知道是有后续的跟进的，他们会得到他们的惩罚。
非常感谢徐颖婷和伊丽莎皮参与我们今天的讨论，谢谢两位。
谢谢。
年的威斯敏斯特全展将于6月12号和13号举行。以繁殖纯种的犬著名的威斯敏斯特犬舍俱乐部今年也将有四只新犬种闪亮登场，竞逐最佳表演奖。由于疫情，今年的全展是145年来第一次不在纽约曼哈顿举行，而且并不对外售票。
In 145 years that the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show has been held outside of Manhattan. So it is historical. But if you have to go outside, which we did have to due to the pandemic, this is the place to go. Lyndhurst Estate has hosted dog shows for 30 years.
接下来为大家播放一条来自 Plus One 加一频道的视频。 Plus One 是美国之音旗下新推出的视频栏目，该栏目旨在为年轻华人打开一扇了解当代美国的窗户，介绍最具有美国特色的话题、故事以及轻松有趣的人文科普，为美中年轻一代开启新的交流与对话。
To me a New Yorker means walking fast just being a hustler, like being able to do multiple things, having a variety of streams of income. I would consider myself a New Yorker, and I think I always will be, even if I don't live here anymore. My name is Keani Alexis Nicole Trevelyan, and I am 24 years old, and this is my ordinary life. I've lived in New York for 3 years, and I'm here to pursue acting, singing, dancing, that whole shebang. I want to be on Broadway. I currently live in Harlem, New York, and I love it. There are just so many different cultures around. I live in a 2-bedroom apartment, a 6-floor walk-up, but I love it. It's my peace, my zen. So as you enter into my home, this is the living room, and my couch is also a couch bed, so very nice when I want to have visitors. And this is my roommate, Tracy, here.My rent is $2,000. I personally pay $1,100 a month. I don't think that's a good deal, but I don't think it's a bad deal either for what New York is. When I first moved to New York, literally 1 week later, I had an audition, and I auditioned for Spamilton, which is an off-Broadway show, or was an off-Broadway show here in New York, the parody of Hamilton and of Spam-a-Lot, and I booked it. I did that show for about 6 months, and then it closed, and then I didn't book anything for almost a year, and it was devastating. When I was in final callbacks for a show that's on Broadway, and I thought I was going to get it, everyone that I auditioned with thought I was going to get it. The music producer said I was going to get it, the choreographer, and then I didn't get it. And I was devastated. I did not audition for a while after that. I just...It, like, broke my heart. After that, I started taking acting classes so no one could ever give me that note again, hopefully. So far, my career is going okay. Pre-pandemic, it was ordinary. Now it's non-existent. But I still have some auditions, which is cool. I actually just had one a few days ago. Obviously, right now during COVID, there aren't a lot of in-person auditions, so everything is online and virtual. This one, there was no dialogue, so I was just drinking the coffee blissfully, and I made sure that I stood out by making a very loud noise while drinking, like this. I hope I booked it. I have not currently been making money acting. I have made money acting before, and for people who are pursuing the arts, they have their side jobs. Audition during the day, work at night has been a very common way to do it. I have been a server and a bartender at a restaurant, and then I've been a babysitter, nanny for a few families, and that's how I've made my living.
Your hair is so cute and curly.
Being a nanny in New York City, you can make definitely enough money to live off of. You can make anywhere from $20 an hour to, I mean, I've seen people make $45 an hour before. I generally make about $3,200 a month. Most of my expenses are obviously rent, which is $1,100 a month. Student loans that come out to about $250 a month. Subscriptions in HBO. I spend probably most of my money on food. I love to eat, and it varies. I eat wherever I'm babysitting, so generally I only have to buy or figure out one meal a day, if that. We would say a couple hundred of that a month as well. I am a very good saver. I feel like I'm pretty frugal. I save about $800 a month. I was taught that, and I think saving is great, and I just love looking at my account, and when the numbers keeps going up, it makes me feel really good. I am black and white, and I do identify as mixed. When someone asks me, I say I'm biracial. My mom is, she's a preschool teacher, and my dad is a pastor. We are a family of eight. I am one of six children. My grandmother is half Chinese, half Vietnamese. I love that I have an Asian grandmother that throws down in the kitchen. I love that I have a black grandmother that throws down in the kitchen. I love that I have a white grandmother that throws down. Truly everything I'm realizing comes back down to food, and that's something that I love about being mixed and just having so much diversity in my own home. So I've, in the past few weeks, started learning the piano. I've been practicing almost every day.
Tell me something, boy. Are you tired trying to fill that void?
I am moving to Atlanta, Georgia, to focus on the TV and film world and just pursue that and give my all into that. And I thought, what better time than when Broadway is closed? I think that Atlanta is becoming the new Black Hollywood. I just really want to be a part of it when it takes off. This career path is incredibly hard, and I think people give up, and I think many people give up too soon. I know I will never give up. I know I will make it. So there's no reason to even talk about if I didn't, because I will.
感谢您收看今天的美国观察，我们下周见。